Good evening, Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host Jim Hobgood, and tonight we have in studio with us a special guest, Dr. Bobby Call. So when he's not treating allergy situations, he's helping us critique UVA football, and unfortunately...
There's a lot of critique to be had.
Yeah, that was a cheap shot as usual. Hobgood loves to jump in on the low blow there.
Well,
kick a man when he's down. That's what I say.
I mean, some people are saying we're going to have to change the name of the show to Who's Crying.
Well, maybe. I could tell you leaving the stadium the other night wasn't quite that bad, but I did have to cheer my mother and my wife up because they were wondering what the heck I dragged them into. But anyhow, we're excited to be here, and let's face it, these are tough times for the Cavaliers and the coaches, and I know Coach London, based on his post-game interview with Jay James, he felt a lot of pain. He's a proud guy. He's an honorable man, and he works very hard, and I like him a lot. I think Hobbo would agree that he's very fond of him as well, and it makes it even harder to suffer through something like that. Wouldn't you agree, guys?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, he's a great man. He's doing a great thing for the kids there, you know, getting them through school and getting them to play. The unfortunate thing is results count.
Yeah, and Bobby and I were talking before the show started, and I said it was an appropriate night to have a doctor on because we need a diagnosis of what's going on here. Because, I mean, Coach London, he obviously has and continues to recruit well. But for whatever reason, and I guess that's what we're here to discuss, it's not translating to wins on the field, which is ultimately what the job's all about. I mean, clearly Mike London's a character guy. His kids are going to class. They're doing the right thing in the community. So all the off-field activities are exactly what they should be and what Virginia fans would hope them to be. But still, we get a little greedy. We want to win some football games, too.
And it gets painful. Up 21-0. 22-0. That's right. And they looked great. If you look at the wins and losses on each side of the ball. You know, how many times did we score in that first half? How many times did we stop them on third down? We just annihilated them in that first half. And then to come out, it's a case of schizophrenia.
All right.
It's a totally different
game. I'll ask the question to both of you. What happened? What went wrong?
Well, this game was a little bit different script. And I came up with this sort of analogy Saturday night following the game. I felt like... lately, the last three, four games, it's been a different horror film, same cast of characters, just a different script. These last four games, the Pitt game, they dominated Pitt. Other than the two turnovers and those short field scores, there were brilliant passes by the Pitt quarterback.
Do you feel either one of you, did Duke make adjustments at halftime that changed anything?
There's a pattern here. Ball State was a give-and-take game. There was ebb and flow. Virginia was looked much more alive on offense. But then in the fourth quarter, just couldn't get anything going. The next game, Maryland. Virginia has the lead at halftime on in an away game setting at a difficult place to play in Byrd Stadium. And Virginia, I thought, looked pretty darn tough mentally. And then late in the game, a few things didn't go well. And then there was, of course, the ill-fated long pass by the backup Maryland quarterback that had two Wahoos around him, and the receiver comes down with the ball, and that turns out to be the play of the game. And then there was the decision just to settle for the field goal, where I felt like they needed to go maybe 5 or 10 more yards down the field, and they took the ball out of the hands of David Watford and didn't throw the ball up the field. And they settled for a long field goal with the backup place kicker. And unfortunately, he was a little wide. In this last game, Virginia played a brilliant first half. The scripted plays, particularly on the first drive, were fantastic. And they got themselves a touchdown, so they have a nice 7-0 lead. The defense was doing their job. Boone, the quarterback for Duke, was confused. He was not hitting anybody. As the game wore on in that first half, you just felt like this is the Virginia team that we were expecting, right? And then somewhere with about 5 or 6 minutes to go in the third period, long after Parks' somersault touchdown into the end zone, I felt like somebody pulled the plug on the Virginia offense. I couldn't put my finger on it, And I started saying, uh-oh. So, Bobby, what do you see in all that? Because I wanted to give that landscape for people that maybe don't follow Virginia as much. But
well, one thing that happens, I think, in college football, you tend to have a recurrent theme. Like, you know, if you play well in the first half and you have difficulties in the second half, that can come back and haunt you. And it certainly came back and haunted the Cavaliers this past Saturday. You had a sense of impending doom when Duke came down towards the end of the first half and made that score and made it look relatively easy, like they were unstoppable. So, you know, it was a little unnerving to see that happen so quickly, and that certainly made it tough for the second half.
Excellent point. We want to remind our callers, you're welcome to call in at 345-0910. We'd love to take your calls, and Dr. Call will answer the calls, and so will Habo and Frank. We'll do our best. What else would you say? Again, I go back to the script seems different every time. It's 1 minute the offense can't do anything, then the offense is performing adequately.
Well, in some ways it'd be easier to fix if it was the same thing every time. You know, what makes it difficult to fix is it seems like it's a different thing every week that's costing them games.
Well, one thing is for certain. We knew at the beginning of the season with the reshuffled offensive line that could be a problem. As far as I'm concerned, it's still a problem. And it really manifested itself in this last game.
Had a lot of bad snaps.
Right. Bowanko is really a guard. And they moved him back to center. And, you know, he can't hit the broadside of a barn half the time with his shotgun snap. So I know we've got a caller on the line. I think we're going to take this call and just see where this goes. All right? So, caller, what's your name and what question do you have for us?
This is Alexander, and I was calling for Dr. Call. I think he has some great insights into the football. And my question is about the game against North Carolina coming up. I've seen a play, and Carolina is still a pretty good team. Is there any way, do you think, that the University of Virginia can beat them? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you very much. All right, Bobby.
Yeah, I think we have a good chance to beat them. I mean, Carolina's good, but they're not great. And if we play two first halves against them like we played against Duke, we can win that ball game. I think I keep thinking about getting people into the right position. One thing I thought that was interesting was moving split ends into the split end position. We've moved, you know, quarterbacks into split end positions, and they've done the split ends. The first yearmen that came in have done a great job. Yeah, so getting the right people in the right position is certainly important.
Yeah, the new wide receivers seem to be performing well, and not to be a coach, but we're obviously concerned about North Carolina. But there are two games before North Carolina. We got Georgia Tech and Clemson to worry about first.
Right.
And I think we have another caller on the line.
Right. We've got Mike at Chester. We're going to go to him a second. I'm just going to make one add-on about the Carolina game. First off, the two teams coming in shortly, Georgia Tech and Clemson. The Georgia Tech game is going to be at 12:30 this coming Saturday in Scott Stadium, and then Clemson the following week, it was announced today, will be at 3:30. Let's go to Mike in Chester. Mike, you're on Who's Talking with Frank, Bobby Call, and Habo. What's your question?
Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Hey, can I call it Dr. Call? He treats all my kids for allergies. He does an awesome job.
Well, that's good.
Hey, but I've got a question, and I'm not able to follow it as much as I used to, but is there a question of maybe conditioning or something? Because I can't remember the last time UVA actually came back late, finished strong in a football game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I will say this. Someone made the comment this weekend that Virginia was soft, and I got very upset because if you saw the game on Saturday, Virginia out-hit Duke at every major collision in the game, and they took about four Duke players off the field. Virginia players that left the field left under their own steam and then came back in the game. And I'm thinking of Daquan Romero, who was a probable for the game with an upper extremity issue, which I think was shoulder. He came back in the game, and he played very well with his shoulder. The other player I can think of is David Dean, a defensive tackle, who's been an Ironman this year in the middle of the line, somewhat undersized, I think, and he's played well. You know, I don't think Virginia is not in good condition. I would say Virginia's in very good condition. I do wonder about depth, because with Nicholson out of the game, they went after Tim Harris. Tim Harris started the season with a groin injury, and he looked like a player that wasn't quite ready for prime time, and he had a hard time guarding that tall receiver.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, Mike, about there was mental fatigue, I think. When you get down, you're getting beat. That mental fatigue is pretty tough, too. As far as, you know, when you're a first-yearman and you're playing out there, and I remember when I got a chance to get out on that field, there's just so much energy that's wasted in your, you know, your excitement and all of that. It's hard to channel it and bottle it, and it's wasted energy. So you really expend all that energy out of nervousness and excitement that goes away when you get older.
Yeah,
thank you for that plug.
That's right.
Glad your kids are doing
well. You know, we're going to have to up Bobby's sponsorship next year since he's getting plugs on the air here.
We're
going
to have to double that.
You know, we got Stacy on the line. The only thing I would say about fatigue, man, they get a lot of TV timeouts, and they take forever. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of dead time in a football game. But, Stacy, you're on Who's Talking. Your question or comment, please.
Good evening. It seemed like there was a lot of empty seats there the other day. I was looking at it from television, and I may factor in time on the coaching situation. Also, it seems like they have a lot of penalties, guys running on late on the field, illegal procedures. But my main question with y'all is that, why can't we get a quarterback? I don't think Wofford is the answer. Everybody keeps saying he's improving, but I just don't think he's sharp.
All right, I'm ready for this one. First off, thank you for your call. Number one, I think it has been in the back of my mind all season how strong Virginia might have been had Mike Rocco been our fifth-year senior and was still at the helm. Everybody was worried about his arm strength. I tell you, he was a heck of a game manager, had a lot of poise. And this team this year, I think, would have really benefited. I don't have anything against David Wofford. And several former Virginia stars, including Aaron Brooks, is a huge fan of David Wofford. And in the first half on Saturday, there were times where I had to say to myself, Aaron Brooks was right, because he made some nice throws. And, you know, he's at times he looked like the game slowed down for him, which is what Dr. Call was referring to just a few moments ago.
Yeah, Bobby, why don't you get your comments on David Wofford, then we'll go to a break, and I think we already have a caller holding.
Well, you know, he's got quickness. He can throw the ball. So when he's on, he's on. I think he's good for the future. If he can, you know, play ball. But I think we got to utilize that quickness and his running capability. That run down at the end zone on that line, boy, he's tough too. He's quick.
He hurt two of those guys.
Well, he's an athlete. There's no question about that.
And, so I think he can be developed. I mean, he's cut his interception rate down. I think he's the guy you want to go to for the future. You got to.
I tell you what, let's go ahead and go to break right now. Caller, if you can hang through the break, we'll come to you right after the break. Plenty of callers tonight on Who's Talking. Nothing like losing a few games to get the calls to come in. But anyway, you're listening to Who's Talking. We'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned.